Good evening. Tonight will be probably one of my last nights up here for the rest of the year. We are finishing up the questionnaires that we started towards the beginning of the year. We had a bunch of questions that some of you may know and some of you might not know that we asked our church, and at the end we all divided it between seven speakers, and whoever picked something, they talked about it. And tonight is one of mine. So my message for tonight is God still in the business of miracles? Does God still do miracles this day? Was that an amen, or yes, he does? Very good. Thank you for answering that. All right, so does God make miracles today? Can God still make miracles today in our lives? Well, the truth is, brothers and sisters, the Bible is full of stories of people that have gone through this hardship and come out victorious. I can stand here and tell you verse and verse after verse of how this has happened. If you truly believe that God still makes miracles today, then that's good. But if you are having that question, this message might be for you. If you have come to the conclusion to where you actually have to ask yourself, does God still do miracles today? Then two things have happened. You have walked far away from God, and your Christianity has diluted. Yeah, you know who God is. Yes, you read the Bible. Yes, you pray. Yes, you come to church. But just like reading a book over and over and over again, it doesn't move you like it did the first time or the first couple of times you read it. You just read it and you keep going. You're like, yeah, it's a good, great book. I love it. It's a good way to pass time. This is a good way to spend a Sunday night or a Sunday morning or a Tuesday night or a Tuesday afternoon. It's a good way to come and meet with your friends and say hello, keep face, and just get out of the house. If you're a youth and you're young, it's a way to get away from your parents. But you go home and you still ask yourself the same question. Does God still do miracles in my life? Well, maybe you're going through something to where you're actually asking yourself that question. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a hardship at your job. Or maybe you're trying to get a job. Maybe you're dealing with depression or loneliness, or something just doesn't work the way you need it to. Maybe you're just dealing with a depressing family and you literally just need to get away from them for the day. And you're asking yourself, does God still do miracles today? Well, I can stand here and tell you all day long, you should hold your head up high, you should believe the Bible, you should read the Bible, you should pray. But when you are going through hardship, when you don't have a job and you need to pay rent, or you are sick and the doctors told you, has actually given you a timeline to where you will end, that is very hard to do. Sometimes when you're in that position, or you have a loved one that is in that position, or you have a friend that is in that position, is extremely hard. Sometimes even the reading the Bible just hurts. Praying feels like it's a waste of time. None of us like to be in that position, but it happens more than once to more than some of us. It's hard to see the hand of God when you are going through that hardship. It's hard to see and know where is your rent going to come from when you haven't worked in a couple of months. Or how are you going to pay for your medicine? Or how you're going to show up to the doctor again when you know he's going to give you bad news again. That is really hard. I can't blame you. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that. Because I've been through that position and it's definitely not easy. It is definitely not good. Well, I'll tell you other things. Miracles are a product of our faith. We have to believe in order for them to happen. Belief is an action, not a knowledge. Yeah, you know God is great. We see the sun every morning, especially here in California. It's gorgeous. Others like the snow and they see it there too. We see the flowers bloom in the spring, and we see the trees turn orange in the fall. Yeah, God is great. But the question is God, can God be great in my life? When you're going through hardship, that is hard to understand. That is hard to read. Well, God hasn't changed in over 2,000 years. What has changed is us. We are the ones that get diluted. We are the ones that change because we are the ones that can change. God couldn't change because then the Bible wouldn't be true. And since the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth, your instructions cannot be incorrect because then you would be left astray. You would get lost. So God cannot change. And since we think of God sometimes, especially when we're going through hardships, we think of God as our boss. Well, I have to go to church. I have to be on time. I have to read my Bible. You do it like you show up at work. Show up well-dressed, on time, and with your lunch bag. You work for a couple hours. You take lunch. You go back to work. Well, our earthly boss is mainly interested in the well-being of his company, not necessarily his employees. But God is well interested in the well-being of his employees. He's got his position and his job very well, but it's his employees he's worried about, and that is us. Deuteronomy, if you could put that up on the screen, I'm going to read it with you guys together. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 and 2. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord the God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord the God will set to you on high above all nations of the earth. Well, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord the God. Well, this is verses written in 28. Is conditional if you fully obey the Lord, if you fully obey his commandments. See, freedom of choice here is key. We can choose to read it, we can choose to bypass it and just go on like, yeah, I've read the Bible, or we can choose to obey it. If you want miracles to happen in your life, I would suggest you try to obey it. It is a hard thing to do, especially when you're going through hardships. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. But most of the time, especially when you're going through hardships or know you're going through hardships, it's a hard thing to do. I don't blame you. We're only humans. I'm not going to stand here and tell you you should do things when you are going through a hardship. But it's good to see the hand of God when you are going through a hardship. I'll give you an example. I know of a case where a friend of mine, well, he's a friend of the family that knows a friend is a friend of somebody's family. Wasn't working for a couple of years, so he had to move in with his brother. His brother has three boys by the age of 5, I think 8 and 11. His brother and his wife were always at work, and the kids were either at preschool, day school, or daycare. Well, my friend that moved in with his brother was a pillar of church. He liked to pray and read the Bible. Just had bad luck with his job. Economy went bad, so they let him go. So my friend is living at his brother's house, and he's devastated. I can't believe this. I'm living here. I have to live and eat under my brother's house and his food and everything. To repay the favor, he offers to babysit the boys. Take them to soccer practice, take them to karate lessons, take them to school and back. As he's going back and forth, he's teaching the kids about the Bible. He's teaching the kids about God. He's bringing this whole family to God and to church little by little through the boys. Now, can we see the hand of God in this? Is it the fact that God just gave this man a house? Or is it the hand of God that gave this house God? Sometimes it's hard to look at that because once things hurt us or touch us directly, we cry like little babies. We forget why, and we don't want to know why. We're just there crying for our pacifiers. We want it back. Even those little babies, the pacifiers are on that little string that's attached to their shoulder, and the pacifier is sitting right here, but they have no idea. They just cry and cry until mom puts the pacifier in their mouth. Or in this case, my friend. Just like babies, we don't know why it falls out. We didn't make it fall out, but it does. Well, that's what God is trying to teach us. Sometimes things fall away, and we shouldn't cry. we should man up or woman up and look to the Lord, because seeing his hand in the hardship of our life is true faith. Seeing his hand where we need it is true faith. Sometimes things come upon you and they come back to you in ways you don't think of. My friend never thought of moving in with his brother and babysitting his three little boys. No. But for a long time, he prayed that his brother and his family would come to church. He prayed for that family for a very long time. And with time, God will bring them. But it didn't work out the way God wanted. It did not work out the way my friend wanted to. It worked out the way God wanted to. So, what do? Do we see hardship and cry? Or do we buckle down and turn to the Lord? Do we buckle down and look for the hand that is there? Do we sit down and turn around and go, hey, Lord, I'm kind of going through something right now. Would you please help me out? If you don't know how that action works, because it's an action, it's not a knowledge. Yes, you know God can do many things, but we don't know if he can work in our lives. If you want to see how that action is done, I'd recommend coming to a prayer night. Come to a prayer night when you see some veterans that have been there for years, and you sit in a prayer circle and you see how they would raise their hand and say, hey, I have a problem, or hey, can you help me out with this? Some of them are chatterboxes. They will tell you the whole entire problem within like 20 minutes. And you're like, hey, I just want to know if you needed prayer. I didn't need to know the whole thing. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just here to pray with you. Others are very closed, like hermits. They just barely raise their hands and barely open their mouth. But inside, they're dying. Their heart is bubbling with temper for the Lord, for what the Lord can do. If that's kind of hard for you and at the beginning and you don't understand how that goes, you want to see the hand of God, come to a youth night on Tuesdays. And you see little 16 and 17-year-old kids that would answer questions from the Bible that will astonish you. If you still don't believe that, come to a Sunday school class. See a 13-year-old kid talk to about Jesus like he was 35 and be reading the Bibles for years. Yeah, he might only know one or two verses, but he knows them really well. You ask them, who is God to you? And they would look you dead in the face and say, my Lord and Savior, that's Jesus. Well, if that's still hard for you, then I don't know what else to tell you. You can come in here and be a bench warmer. Maybe like 10 years, something might happen to you. Well, right here and right now, I'm going to propose an alternative. Instead of going through a hardship and saying, oh my God, why am I going through the hardship? Why is this happening to me? Oh my God, I can't believe it. Let's not cry, but let's turn to the Lord. Let's look at him and say, hey God, I'm kind of going through something. Can you please show me a way out? Let's not look for a way to cry, but look for a way of saying, what can I do? Somebody once told me, is like, when you point a finger at somebody, there's three fingers pointing to you, kind of like this. One to the person, the other three are to you. So don't say, God, 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 as in me, me, me. So what can I do to help my situation? What can I do for God? Those are many things, and still, if you are wondering, you can help out financially if you can. If you can't not help out financially, you cannot help out with prayer or cleaning or volunteer work. The churches, all churches, even everywhere you are, all churches have activities. It doesn't matter if it's a Christmas activity, somebody's birthday or something. Offer to go there and say, hey, can I pick up the trash afterwards? Or find a person that's in charge and say, hey, what can I help with? I don't really know much. I'm really lazy, and I don't ever show up on time. But for that 20 minutes that I'm there, can I do something? Be honest. Believe me, the person will welcome you, even if it's 5 minutes. Even if you say you're going to do it and never show up, well, don't do that because that would be disrespectful. But at least they would appreciate it, and they will be acknowledged because they know the hardship, and they know the sacrifice and all the hard work that goes through it. So here's my alternative. Let's not cry, but let's find a pacifier. Let's move our little baby hands, move our heads around, and find a pacifier. You might not find it at first. It might take a little bit, but at least you're moving forward. At least you're trying something different than the same old, same old. Can we pull up Matthew 6, 34, 33 and 34, please? In Matthew, it talks about the first thing you should do. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So, let's not say, hey God, why isn't this working towards me? But say, hey God, what can I do for you? How do I seek your presence first? Don't ask for gifts, but give a gift. Isn't it always better to give than to receive anyway? So, those things I said earlier about volunteering, about helping out, about just showing interest. Somebody's talking and they have a problem, just cry with them. Or at least say, dude, I understand. Or if it's a girl, just say, yeah, do that. I understand. Well, how can we seek the hand of God when our life is upside down? How do you search for something when you don't have it? Through faith. It's an action. It is not a knowledge. It's an action. You help somebody, God helps you. You work for them, God works for you. One hand washes the other. One hand cannot always ask to be washed and it never washes the other, because then you still have one dirty hand out of two. So don't ask, but give. Let's look at Colossians, please. Colossians 1:16 and 18. So the things that happen, the things we're going through, the things that might put hardship on your heart or bring you down are because in Colossians it says, everything was created by him, everything in heaven and on earth, everything seen and unseen, including all forces and powers and all rulers and authorities. All things were created by God. So the things you're kind of going through, or you feeling or wondering to why isn't God doing a miracle in my life, here's the shocker. God has allowed that to happen to you. And because God is all-knowing and everywhere, you cannot run from it. You cannot hide from it. So at this point, you have two choices. Again, freedom of choice is key here. You can ask what to do to get yourself out of it, or you can sit there and complain and cry until God feels sorry for you and says, okay, you had enough. Let's put the pacifier back in your mouth. I'm going to use the baby metaphor for a second here. And if you guys can try to imagine, what would happen if the pacifier falls out of the baby's mouth and there's nobody there to hear him cry? Well, the baby will cry and cry and cry until he's so tired, eventually he will stop and take a nap. He might wake up and cry again, but for a little bit, he will stop crying. That is us sometimes. When a pacifier, or when we go through the hardship, things will fall out of our way, and we will try everything in our own possibilities, in our human strength, to do to get it back, to get the problem fixed. You don't have a job, you try to find a job. You are sick, you try to find a different doctor, maybe a different cure, maybe something else. But the first thing we should do is look to the Lord. The first things we should do is should go to him. Look to him first and then see what else we can do. So you see how the things switch. Instead of trying to find our own, we try to use God and then use our own strength to work for God. Everything God puts on us is for a reason. At one point or another, you have been blessed in some way to understand and know what a blessing is and what God really is. Because he showed himself to us and others through the prayers of our parents. It doesn't matter what age you are, at one point or another, your parents prayed for you. So at one point or another, God has blessed you. Be little, be a lot. And through the time, we have forgotten. So when we forget about miracles and we ask, why isn't God doing a miracle in my life anymore? Or why doesn't God exist? Because eventually, little by little, we have walked away from him. We have diluted our faith. Our action of believing has gone lazier and lazier. Well, God puts things on our heart and amongst us to teach us something, to show us something. Like my friend, God's purpose was to bring his brother and his whole family to church. Why? Because his brother was praying for him diligently, like usually our parents do to us. No matter what age you are, believe me, your parents prayed heavily for you. And they will keep praying and praying. Even when in heaven, they will still knock on God's door and say, hey, that person over there is mine. Can you do something? So, if God's trying to teach us something, you can't run away from it. Don't hide it. You can't hide from it. It's like going to school. You want to be a doctor. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go to school for 8 years, study medicine, and then cry and complain that the tests are too heavy. Well, hey, you're the one who wanted to be a doctor. Again, freedom of choice. You wanted to be here. You wanted to be near God. Now, don't cry and complain when God's trying to teach you something. Don't run to humans and others to find a way out, but run to the Lord and to the Bible. How do you do that? Come to prayer. Come to youth nights. Volunteer. Help out your church. Go help and hang out with some elderly people that don't really have people to hang out with them. Take a younger kid to lunch. Talk to them. See what they're into. You'll be surprised pretty much the same thing you are. But maybe God will use you in some way to teach that kid. That's what God's want. That is God's purpose for us to understand and learn and bring others to them. It's not about you. There's no I in team. And this is all one big team, and God is the coach. It doesn't matter what sports you like. It'd be football, soccer, swimming, playing pool, whatever. There's always a star player and there's always a coach. God's the coach. Guess who the star player is? Jesus. So, let's not run and let's learn. Let's buckle down and not cry and complain, but look to the Lord and look to what he wants us to do. Don't make your own time and say, in 6 months, I'm going to do this. Or in 6 months, I'm going to do that. Because time does not belong to you. You want something from the Lord, you need to push everything away, no matter how bad it hurts, and no matter how bad you want it. Your ego is not supposed to get in the middle of this. And you say, God, you do your work. If you think that your earthly people, people that seem here, like a doctor or your landlord says, hey, if you don't pay at the end of this, you are out of your apartment. If by 6 months, you will be dead. Why don't you ask God and see how God stretches that time? Or you say, hey, I'm depressed. In 6 months, I need to find another friend. Or in 6 months, I need to do this or that. Or in 2 months, this. Why are you waiting 6 months to find a friend when Jesus is sitting right next to you all day long? Why are you looking at other people to help you out? You should look to the Lord. We are humans. We have our own problems. Some of us might live in different families, different states, different countries, speak different languages, eat different foods, like different things. But believe me, when problems come, we all handle them the same way. Some run to the Lord, some find the easy way out, which is Jesus is God. Others cry and complain and look for other people because that's the easy way out. So, this is my closing. Freedom of choice here. What are you going to do? You're going to cry and complain? Are you going to make your own time and say in 6 months, I'm going to find new friends or a new boyfriend or a new girlfriend? Or are you going to stand back and say, God, what is there for me to do for you? Is your ego going to get in the middle of this? Or are you going to get in the middle of this? Or are you going to let God direct your way? Things like this is what makes, it's what questions our ability to understand and love God. You see, in the garden, the serpent made Eve question God's strength. Did he really say not to eat from that tree? Are you surely going to die? All the serpent did is made you question it. All these troubles in your own ego and the time you put for yourself is going to make you question it. Because you're going to put those 6 months there. And you're going to say, in 6 months, I'm going to find this. 6 months are going to come, and you're going to fail the test. What was your test? To buckle down and study. What was your test? To turn to the Lord. On the test, did it say a time, or did it say you should do this or that, or is it anything going to come back, or was there a time? No. The time is, how well are you willing to endure the pain? How well and how long do you want to go through this trial? When I went in college and I was in school, my dad had two words, either study now or study in the summer. Summer meant summer school. When all my friends were at the beach and surfing and playing and riding their bicycles around, guess what I was doing? Buckling down again to learn what? The same material I should have learned the first time I took the test. But because my ego got in the way and I was like, forget this, I'm going to go to the beach right now. Guess what happened? I didn't get to go to the beach again. And while my friends were at the beach, I was at home and that hurt. So, what are you going to do? Freedom of choice is here again. It's funny how things turn around 2,000 years later, and we're still at the same problem we've had since the beginning. Freedom of choice. Are we going to choose, or are we going to choose not to? Is ego here, or is God here? Amen.